Welcome into the DDC 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, the pride of Michigan State, here with you. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos behind the glass. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. You can hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're going to do something a little different to start the show because, you know, I'm like, Robbie and Joe, they got to hang out at home today. Joe still got his slippers on. I said, why don't you guys stick around for a little bit and let's have a little round table, because Josh Heupel was speaking at SEC Media Days. He didn't really say all that much. So I figured, let's talk about the big topic, which is Matthew Tkachuk. Could he potentially come to the Nashville Predators? So Robbie, Joe, thanks for sticking around a little bit. How are we, fellas?
Well, we're good. I've got some breaking news if you want it.
Let's do it.
Uh-oh.
Looks like Nino Niederreiter siding with the Predators, according to Elliot Friedman. Predators okay. Loading up 2 years, $4 million annual average value, according to Friedman. So it looks like Nino Niederreiter coming to Nashville.
So let me take my plan. Do that, as Darren
tossing
it to
in
do.
The trash.
The Predators just making it official. The email literally coming out as we speak. Okay, so I'm gonna start this, and then we'll just go around the room. I like this a lot. I have always liked Nino Niederreiter. Now, is he the same Nino Niederreiter, you know, of 5 years ago? No, but I still think 44 points, 24 goals that you're adding to this lineup. You now have your second line winger. You have your top six solidified. Tkachuk stuff aside. But I think this is a good move because he fits the identity of the Predators and what John Hines is trying to do. Right, Rob?
He does. The way that he plays the game is tenacious. He's very difficult to play against. If you remember that playoff series, Chase, from a couple of years ago between the Predators and the Hurricanes, Niederreiter was a pain in the butt. And that's who the Predators want to be. I mean, you look at his numbers, he's been a good player for a long time. I mean, I think you'll first remember him when he was back with the Wild in Minnesota. He did play with Mikael Granlund a little bit, I believe, with the Wild as well. So some familiarity there. 24 goals, 20 assists last year, 44 points. You know, he's a guy that I wouldn't call him a game changer in the top six, but a very solid player and a clear upgrade in the top six over what they had last year. So 2 years, $8 million total, looks like a $4 million annual average value. I think that's a pretty good deal for him, pretty good deal for the Predators, and it looks like they found their guy, at least for now, in the top six, and we'll see as to whether or not they're done.
I think everybody needs these type of guys, Robbie and Chase, and this is a guy that you bring on your team, and he's not going to be your best player. He's not going to be your worst player. But he's going to be that gritty, grindy player. He's going to be the guy that gets you those minutes, those critical minutes within the season. 6'2", 218 pounds. So he's going to be a physical presence, a former first rounder. So it may not be one of those splash signings, but I think it's going to be a signing that helps them as they move forward.
So, Joe, does this change the way that you feel about – Matthew Tkachuk?
Well, no, it helps. So now you take Niederreiter, you take Sissons, you move them out. That's about $7 million in cap moving to Calgary.
So you already moved them, Joe.
Okay.
It's all a smokescreen.
So I tell you what it does, because I'm going to throw – I don't know if either one of you have heard kind of what I threw out there yesterday of a potential trade that I would make. But this signing makes it easier to make. I would take two firsts and a third, and then kind of a mid-range prospect, so not Evangelista, but maybe a tick under that, and Mikael Granlund, and offer that for Matthew Tkachuk.
But now, okay, so that's with this signing, does that do enough? I mean,
you'd have to probably still move some money. So I'd throw Fabro in then. That's $2 million. So that's about 7 million.
But Fabro was in your
that was in the first trade.
Yes,
the first trade that I had was a first, a third, Fabro, and then either Tolvanen or Sissons, and then Evangelista.
Maybe they just love Johansson.
Maybe.
Like, you're talking about Calgary?
I don't know.
Calgary or the Predators?
The Calgary.
Oh, okay. Now he was in a few proposals from our callers.
Yeah,
and the texters.
I'm just like in the, and maybe I'm in the minority on this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the boat of I don't want to trade either Johansson or Duchesne. I'm not saying they're not on the table, but I would prefer not to. Maybe I'm living in the moment because of last year, but if I could figure out how to keep them and add, you know, add Tkachuk, mm-hmm. I would do that. And I like Mikael Granlund, but you got to move money too. And I would prefer to move that $5 million and then something else to make it happen.
Now, Joe and Robbie, wouldn't it be better if they're going to move anybody, they move somebody like Duchesne, who has had a really good season? We don't know what it's going to look like moving forward, but if you're going to make a move on a guy that has proven he can play and play at a high level at some point of his career, wouldn't you decide to move him now before you can't move him at all?
Well, it's to that point, D-Mace. Like this time a year ago, Johansson and Duchesne were untouchable. Like mm-hmm. you couldn't give them away. They tried. They tried to give them away to Seattle Kraken. And nobody would take him. You know, after 43 goals and over 80 points, like, is somebody more willing to entertain the idea of taking on a Matt Duchesne contract? I thought Johansson played really well last year. He's got 3 years left on his deal. That's a pretty high price at 3 years left on his deal. Is there somebody out there that would be willing to take that contract or at least take part of the contract? Like, I think if you're the Predators, you might have to retain some of that. But it does make you wonder, like, we've talked about Matthew Tkachuk all morning. Like, I think he would be a perfect fit for this team. And I still think if there is interest from his part in you, you owe it to yourself if you're the Predators to do some digging on that. And maybe David Poile and the Predators already have. I don't know what that looks like. But I think a lot of people are just assuming that this immediately takes them out of Matthew Tkachuk. And it might. But I'd still be kicking every tire I could kick on Matthew Tkachuk if I were the Predator.
Yeah, I don't. And you're listening to the DDC. We do have Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad joining us, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I don't think this closes the door on Tkachuk at all, in my opinion. Now, does it make it more difficult because you got to move some more money around now? Sure, but
yeah.
I don't think it closes the door at all. And you know. If even without the Nino Niederreiter move, you make the move for Tkachuk, I put this team in the top three in the division. I still don't know if they close the gap. They do close the gap. I still don't know if they're better than Colorado, but they to me become a top three team. Adding Niederreiter and Tkachuk would help close that gap even more.
Yeah, and then the question is, Niederreiter, Tkachuk, who's out? Probably at least Granlund. So maybe yeah. You'd have a situation where, like, Duchesne's back down the middle. But think about how different your winger situation would look with Niederreiter and Tkachuk, along with still having Duchesne and Forsberg. I mean, I think somebody from the Mighty Drunks could probably center one of those lines and have some production.
Okay, so I've had a few people throw out Tomasino's name. If you included him in a trade, obviously that's not going to really help you from a money standpoint because he's not making that much. But
right.
Are either of you guys open to that, even though he had a pretty good rookie year and there's a lot of upside there?
Oh, I'm open to it for sure. Yep. I mean, look, I said this morning. I think people get way too enamored and caught up with young players and what they could be and sometimes ignore what players are in the NHL. Like, I know people love – Luke Evangelista and what he could turn into for the Predators somewhere down the line. I was really impressed with Tomasino last year. I thought he had a good year for the most part. And look, if they keep things as they are now and he gets a chance in the top six, I think there's a chance he could play pretty well and that they could have a legitimate top six forward in him moving forward. But we know what Matthew Tkachuk is. Like, we know what that type of a guy is. He's a 100-point player. He's 24 years old. You know, I love Askarov and what he can turn into. I love Evangelista. I really like Tomasino and what he brings to the table. But I think sometimes people get way too caught up in potential and what that could be, and they ignore what people actually are at the NHL level. And I will take the proven commodity over hope every single time.
But isn't that sort of our fault as show hosts? Because we always preaching young talent, young talent, young talent. And the fans are hearing this, and then they're seeing this young talent play, and they see, spots where they're playing really well and they're thinking, man, once this person gets it, they're going to be a real addition to our team. So, you know, in their mind, they're thinking, let's just stay young. But like I said yesterday with Tkachuk, he's a young guy, 24 years old, and he's already proven that he can play in this league and play at a high level.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's one thing if you're trading for a 30-year-old, Joe. Mm-hmm. It's another for a 24-year-old.
Yeah, we talked earlier on the show about, for example, let's go back like 3 years and a scenario like this, and we're talking about Tolvanen, right? At that time, like 3-4 years ago, it's like, oh, there's no way you're touching Elie Tolvanen. I mean, this guy's a sniper and he's going to be, you know, and look, I don't know what Tolvanen's career outcome is going to be, but think about that now. I mean, I don't know that the Preds, you know, I don't know the Preds, how much they could get for Elie Tolvanen now. You just don't know what's going to happen with these guys. And again, to your point, D-Mace, I mean, 24 and this good. So mm-hmm. an 8-year deal that would definitely be part of this. You're going to like how it looks for most of the deal. And a lot of these, like the end of the last couple of years, the Forsberg deal may not be pretty, but you're willing to sacrifice that for what you're going to have in the first few years. The entirety of the Tkachuk deal right now could be excellent.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this the nicest way I know how about Tolvanen: get his ass out of here. Like, that's just kind of how I feel at this point. I mean, I like Ellie, but I mean, and you guys could be right. I mean, there could be, he's still a young player. He could develop into something, but he hasn't fit this system. We saw one flash, and so I think that this could be a Fiala situation where he needs to move on and get a change of scenery. If he can be worked into a package that would get you Matthew Tkachuk, I'm doing it all day long. But
well, and he also just may not be that good. There's that possibility too.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, guys. Thanks for sticking around for an extra segment. You know, we had this plan, but I like this move, so obviously gives us something to talk about.
And also, Joe is the pride of Michigan State.
Yeah, well, that's true.
dude, I am the shame of Michigan State. Come on. You made my Michigan State experience better every Saturday.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Guys, we'll be listening tomorrow morning starting at 6.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, fellas.
Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Robbie and Rexroad mornings from 6 to 10 here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. The breaking news, Nino Niederreiter signing a 2-year deal with the Nashville Predators. What does that mean moving forward? We'll take your thoughts on our text line and our phone line, 615-737-1025. The DDC is underway. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Stretch pass, throwing the puck back in the Kane zone, trying to find Kreider. Was Hedl, but the Canes come up with it. Niederreiter with a backhand, he'll score! Nino Niederreiter leaks one through Shesterkin, and it's a 2-1 game at the Garden.
There you go, the call on the Hurricanes Radio Network. Nino Niederreiter signing a 2-year deal worth about $4 million per year with the Nashville Predators. Welcome back into the DDC. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I'm going to say this. I'm going to beat the table. No, it doesn't mean they're out on Matthew Tkachuk. I don't think it means that at all. I think David Poile is doing exactly what I told you he was going to do. He is showing you that he is dealing David again, and he is trying to make this team better and make a run at it. They made the acquisition of McDonough. They re-signed Forsberg. Now they're adding Niederreiter. Is this move to sign Niederreiter the be-all, end-all, and like, oh, here we go, Stanley Cup? No, absolutely not. But it does help them. It does make them better. They do have a second line forward now that they needed to find. I love this move. But he now still has the assets. He's got to move the money, but he has the assets to go get Matthew Tkachuk if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, David, whether, you know, he's been hearing the whispers about, you know, is he going to spend money? You know, is he really going to do the things necessary to put this franchise in win mode? When I say win mode, I mean Stanley Cup win mode, because I think this franchise has been in win mode, you know, since he's really been there. Once they got everything established. But he could have possibly heard the whispers, like, what's the plan? I think he heard everybody asking Willie, what was the plan? Well, we see what the plan is now. He's going to do whatever it takes just about to make this team a competitive team, not just competitive in winning and going to the playoffs, but advancing also in the playoffs.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I've said this too, and I mean this with all due respect. This is what I love about David Poile. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's the only general manager this team has ever had. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning. I mean, he's 71, 72 years old, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he hasn't accomplished in his career is to win the Stanley Cup. He was 2 wins shy of it. And I know a lot of people harp on that. Like, well, he's been at this for 40 years and he's never won a Stanley Cup. Newsflash. Do I agree with every move that David Poile has ever made? No. He's made some good ones and he's made some bad ones. But it's hard to win the Stanley Cup. It is, in my opinion, the hardest trophy in sports to win. Not everyone does it. Mm-hmm. Some of the greats have never done it. And so you have to keep that in mind. But I look at some of the things he's doing this offseason that he's kind of saying, hey, you know what? What do I got to lose? Let's go for it. Let's go get it. And I believe, and I heard it in his postseason press conference, that he had the support of ownership to do that. You know, he said he didn't spend to the cap last year because he didn't think it was the right year to do it. Mm-hmm. This year, it looks like he's spending to the cap. He just added $4 million. And again, I emphasize, I don't think this means that they're not in on Tkachuk. If he can put the right trade package together, then I say go for it. But you do have to clear money. And even though I would prefer that they hold on to Johansson and Duchesne, it would mean that, you know, likely one of them could be a part of that. But to me, you would have to give up even more prospects and picks for Calgary to want to take on a contract for an older player like that. But look, he's done this stuff before.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, as a leader of a team, or of an organization, franchise, you have to sometimes, you know, take those steps, those bold steps, even though, you know, people may not agree with them sometimes. People may think, you know, why are you doing this? Or what took you so long? But you have to make those necessary steps, especially in David's situation. Like you said, Chase, we're not writing him off or anything. We're not sending him out like, hey, this is his swan song. But you're right. He's not, you know, 31 or 41 or 51. He's in his early 70s. So when in his mind, he's probably thinking the time is now. We've had a window. We didn't make do on that window when we had an opportunity. This is another window for us. And, you know, we have to win now under my leadership. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, as a player, as anybody that has to deal with sports, when you've been in sports, an integral part of an organization or, you know, program, and you put so much in it and then you end up leaving without nothing.
Yeah.
That's like an empty feeling from a sports world.
Well, and I look at this from the player's point of view. Like, if I'm you on some of the Titans teams or Ravens teams that you played on, you have no control over the personnel. Mm-hmm. And you know, sure, as an older veteran player that, you know, I don't know how close you and Bisciotti were when mm-hmm. you were in Baltimore, but, you know, you had Ozzie's ear. You know, mm-hmm. you could tell Ozzie. You had Floyd's ear at one time. You know, you could say, like, hey, you know, have those conversations, but ultimately the players don't have say in personnel, and you really shouldn't. But if you sit there and you see, okay, you've added to your defense core with a guy that has won 2 Stanley Cups, he's played in 4, he's a good leader, you've added him to your team, okay, you feel good about that. You just signed a guy that scored 24 goals last year and really fits your identity, mm-hmm. okay, you like that. You see that you have committed to your captain and Roman Josi long term. You've committed to the best forward you've ever had as a franchise long term. If I'm a player, I'm watching this going, all right, they're in. Like, they want to get better. They are committed to get better. So that just adds to morale within the locker room.
Yeah, and as a player, that's all you hope that the franchise, the leader of the franchise, meaning the GM and the owner, are doing is putting the team in the best position to win, because the last thing you want is a bunch of guys in a locker room looking around asking, why did they do that? And not why did they do that in a good way, but why did they do that in a bad way? Everyone's scratching their head. And then that causes a little bit of apprehension within a locker room. Like, is this organization really committed, you know, to winning and winning multiple Stanley Cups or winning multiple Super Bowls or NBA championships? And when you have that sort of doubt, it does fester through the locker room. Well, David is showing his team, listen, we re-signed one guy that we had to have. We went out and got some more people. Mm-hmm. We're still in the hunt for even, you know, maybe one or two more guys that can fit this system. So we are in a position, or I'm putting this team in a position to win now. And when you're bringing in free agents, when they see that, not just necessarily the guys on the team, but guys you're going to potentially bring in, when they see that, they're more inclined to listen to you or to sign with your team because they know you are doing the necessary things to win in this sport of hockey.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our number. You can call or text. Willie Donick is going to join us here in about 5-6 minutes. He's on the road being dad, but he wants to weigh in on this, and we hope to have him on later in the show as well. But let's go to the phones. Reno wants to weigh in. Reno, welcome into the DDC.
Man, as soon as Tkachuk, I heard, wasn't going back, I was hoping two teams would either get him, the Sharks or Nashville. And I would, if I'm Nashville, Tolman and Fabro and two prospects should get him. And I would do that in a heartbeat to get Tkachuk in here. In a heartbeat. Like you were saying, 24 years old, he's already a 100-point player. I'd give up Fabro, Tolvanen, and three prospects possibly. That guy is a game changer, and if he put him in here with his attitude and his scoring and just the way he plays, oh my Lord, it could be a game changer, boys.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Thanks for the call, Reno. Look, I'm going to keep saying this. You still can make the trade, and people are sending me screenshots of things that they would do to get Matthew Tkachuk. Here's one: Colton Sissons, Dante Fabro, Ellie Tolvanen, Luke Evangelista, and a first for Matthew Tkachuk and a 2025 third round pick. I mean, I think that gets it done. Now you're losing a pretty important guy in Sissons, and then you got to figure out how you're going to replace Fabro. But you have to remember that there are corresponding moves you're going to have to make. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Real quick, let's go to Adam. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, Chase, man. So I love Niederreiter. I thought he's a good player. I like Tkachuk. But it still doesn't fix the big problem, man. And I'm not a hockey analyst, but I felt like Fabro took a step back. I felt like Ekholm, which is probably my favorite Predator during the run, he took a step back last year. You're still going to have to get in a shootout every single night until you address defense. So add the offense, yes, but I want to see some type of defensive name thrown out there too, man.
What do you think McDonough was?
Well, he's a piece of it, but, I mean, we're not very deep besides McDonough and then Roman, right? Like, once you get in the back lines, that's where we really struggle.
Okay, thanks for the call, Adam. I think Ekholm's fine. I think that Ekholm has been paired with young defensemen and had to – kind of overcorrect for that at times. Fabro is a prime example. When he was paired with Fabro, I mean, you could definitely tell he was having to try and, kind of protect him a little bit, and that hurt his game. But I think maybe there could be some depth moves still made on defense, but we'll see what Willie thinks. Willie Donick is going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts as Nino Niederreiter has signed a 2-year $8 million contract with the Nashville Predators. They announced just moments ago. It's the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Here's a shot by Brendan Dillon. Blocked it. Now we've got a break. Matthew Tkachuk busting in. Deeks shoots and is stopped and now scores. Matthew Tkachuk picks up his own rebound and he buries it. His team co-leading 42nd goal of the season makes it 1-0 Flames.
There you go, talking Tkachuk, talking Nino Niederreiter to the Predators. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you here on the DDC. Now we say hello to Willie Donick, who is somewhere on the road. But Willie, we started the show. I had this grand plan. Robbie and Joe were going to stay over. We were going to talk Kachuk, talk Josh Heupel. And literally as we came on the air, the Predators announced they had signed Nino Niederreiter to a two-year, $8 million contract, $4 million per year. What do you think about this move?
I think that it fits exactly what David Poile told us. Remember when we had him on following the Philip Forsberg signing? And this is where, again, if you listen to our show, you're going to get good info on the Predators here. He said, we're not really interested in a long-term signing. We would like to upgrade the second line, but we're looking for something more short-term. And then what happened? First day of free agency, there was the spending spree that there always is. There were a lot of people signing long-term contracts. We looked at guys. We looked at Nino Niederreiter's teammate, Vincent Trocheck, who got 7 years. But then once that day was over, then I think the market really settled, and I think the patience of the Predators came in. I always thought Nino Niederreiter would be a great fit. I just assumed that with guys like Trocheck getting 7 years and some other guys who got the 4-, 5-, 6-year deals, that Niederreiter would be in that category. Somehow he fell and was still available and was looking around, and Nashville was able to get him for 2 years. To me, that's a really good signing because it's short-term. It's $4 million a year, which is very workable under their cap. And he fits exactly with Kyle Granlund for years.
Uh-oh. Well, Willie, yeah. Willie's traveling.
Your style that they're looking for.
Yeah, no, I agree. You cut out a little bit there, Willie, but I got the premise there. You know, and you're right. I forgot that he and Mikhail Granlund did spend a lot of time together in Minnesota. That's a very good point that they have familiarity with each other. But one thing that I've said, and I believe this, this signing doesn't take them out of Matthew Tkachuk. It makes it a little more difficult because now there's, you know, more money that you're going to have to clear. But speaking of Mikhail Granlund, one of the trade scenarios that I threw out there yesterday, to me it makes it easier that, you know, you could potentially do that and clear that $5 million and a little bit more to be able to acquire Tkachuk. But I don't think they're out of the Tkachuk sweepstakes. What about you?
Well, I think when an opportunity comes along, like a Matthew Tkachuk, you have to try to jump in on that. An opportunity like that doesn't come along very well, where I think you have knowledge that he has an interest in Nashville. I don't think Nashville is the only team he's interested in, but it's one of a handful of teams, if you believe what you read. And I honestly, I think we've known this for a while, that he's got a liking to this part of the country. So with regard to that, how do you do it with adding $4 million to the cap? You've still got to sign Yakov Trenin. And Matthew Tkachuk, this coming season, is going to make at least $9 million a year, depending on if he's playing on a one-year deal or if you sign him to a new deal. So some money has to go back the other way. I would really like to see Granlund and Niederreiter play together. I think it's a great matchup that they foresaw when they had an interest in Niederreiter. But that having been said, somewhere in here you're going to have to move some money to make it work. But to me, Matthew Tkachuk's the guy you've got to move stuff around to get. If there's an opportunity, I think you've got to put a good package together and take your shot.
All right, couple things that have just come out. The NHLPA has announced the dates for salary arbitration, and I bring this up because these are important. Yakov Trenin's arbitration hearing will be August 2nd. So they have until that date to try and sign him to a deal, which I ultimately think they're going to. Matthew Tkachuk's will be August 11th. So Calgary kind of has a little bit of a timetable to try and get some stuff done by August 11th, whether it's signing and trading him or trading him, and then he can sign an eight-year deal with the team that acquires him or however they want to go about that. But just wanted to throw those dates out there because I think they're important. They have $4 million in cap space right now. I have slotted about $2 million of that for Trenin.
Well, do you think if obviously his arbitration isn't until the 11th,
August 2nd. Oh,
the 11th. Do you think it will be more difficult if they did a sign and trade, if they signed Kachuk to a contract, because it would be a long-term $9, $10 million deal per season.
Well, and they have the eighth year.
And they have the eighth year.
That's the thing.
But do you think it would be more difficult to trade him then to the Predators, if that is indeed the case? Because now you got to clear more cap.
Willie, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, I do think, in reading a lot of the speculation out of Calgary yesterday, they knew that August 11th date. And so the Trennan thing is interesting, because that's going to be resolved one way or the other by August the 2nd. So you'll have some certainty on him. And I don't know what the number is, Chase. I would say the over-under, you're in the ballpark around 2. Of course, if you're David Poile, maybe you try to get him for just under that, but you give him some term so he has some security. And he's a guy I think you can envision playing for a number of years. So if you could get him, I don't know, just under 2, 1.75 or 1.8, everything, you know, one way or the other, it will be done by the time that Kachuk's date rolls around. But I think people in Calgary are saying pretty heavily they think something will be done, because, Derek, you're on it, that a sign and trade is what Matthew Kachuk wants. I think he wants to maximize and get the eighth year. So, and I think that's going to create leverage for the Flames with some, you know, get a lot of people on the table trying to put a deal together, and they choose from the best deal there. So I do think the clock is ticking until August 11th, and I would expect something to be done by then. I think Matthew Kachuk very likely will have his new team by that date.
So let me just make sure I understand this right, Willie. Willie Donick on the line with us. That the only way for him to get the eighth year is if Calgary signs him now and then trades him, or if they traded his rights, could that team still sign him to the eighth year?
Well, what the Flames did, because they did not want to have somebody come in and offer an offer sheet, they signed up for team. They had team-initiated arbitration. So one way or the other, the arbitration will be done on August 11th. And once that happens, that's a one-year deal. And so they could not trade his rights for an eighth year. That would have to be a seven-year. So before that happens, so a deal for an eighth year, a sign and trade where his new team could sign him to 8 years, mm-hmm. that would have to be done before August 11th.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense. But, you know, okay, so let me throw this at you. Not that I would be on board. I'm just, you know, for Matthew Kachuk, you kind of do what you need to do. Is Trennan in play? Even though it's not going to cost you a lot to re-sign him, but he's a good player. He's somebody that if you're Calgary and you're competitive rebuilding, he kind of fits that mold, and he's going to be cheap. So if you're Calgary, would you want him to be a part of some sort of trade package?
Well, you know, I don't always agree with Jared, but I know he said something to the effect of almost everybody's in play. And I do think that mentality has got to be there. I think some flexibility is how I would put it. But one way or the other, some money's got to go back towards Calgary. It can't just be picks and prospects, which that will be part of it too. I would think your proposal, whatever it ends up being, I think there'll be a first-round pick in there. There probably is going to be a prospect in there. But then there's got to be some money, and I would look at a contract. And these are all guys that I think would be great fits for the Predators. If they don't make this deal, but Niederreiter signing, I think with that and McDonough and Forsberg back, they're clearly on paper a better team than they were last year. But when you have an opportunity to try to get Kachuk, that's a whole new ball game, and you have to try to do it. So I'm looking at contracts like Fabro, Sissons. If those are useful players to Calgary, that's also a chunk of money. You've got to clear some to get Matthew Kachuk's $9.5 million, whatever you're budgeting for, under the cap this year.
Right.
But that only puts you, you know, a little bit under $6 million with those two players.
Right. So there's got to be more.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't you think?
Have to unload somewhere. You don't have to unload it all to Calgary, but you got to unload it somewhere.
Wouldn't you rather, instead of giving up, you know, possibly three players and some, because like you guys said, you got to send money back. So rather than giving up three players and maybe one or two prospects, You go right at – you got to go right at the meat of the contracts or the meat of the team, and that's Duchesne or Johansson because they're making a lot of money. Whether you send them with the package and get Tkachuk back, I don't know, but you can't – I don't think you can send, you know, Tolvanen or Fabro and still think you're going to get that deal made because you still got to send back more, even with those two guys.
That's why I've thrown Granlund out there too. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, he makes $5 million, but I agree. I mean, as much as I would not want to do it, Tkachuk is obviously an upgrade. Yeah. I mean, I do feel like Johansson or Duchesne probably has to be a part of this in some capacity. But Willie,
the last point I'll make is Derek. I think that's something that's got to be thought about. It's our question that we asked yesterday. What does Calgary want? Do they want to completely retool, start over now that they're in this position, or are they still looking to stay competitive? And would they be interested in a big contract, which would make it a lot easier for the Predators to make it work long term if they took a Duchesne contract? I would think Johansson you want to hold on to if you're the Predators because of the position he plays, the center, and Tkachuk is a wing. But I do think that's one to think about. There's a lot of possibilities here, but regardless of what happens from here, the Predators got a lot better with the signing of Niederreiter. He is a tough player, and that is a really good pickup, especially for what they got him for.
I completely agree with you on that. Willie, we'll talk to you here in a little bit. I know you're planning to join us later in the show, but safe travels, and we'll see what else happens.
Good luck to Mahoney.
Yeah, well, they got washed out today, D-May, so Mahoney will not take the mound today. So he will it was a bummer. We got washed out. He was jacked up. He was playing against the South Carolina Gamecocks, a team from they're actually called the Owls, but they're from Columbia, South Carolina. But the game will not happen. We'll just have to, in our minds, wonder what would have been. But instead, we're heading back to Nashville. So we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, thanks. Willie Donick is joining us from the road as the Predators acquire Nino Niederreiter, 2 years, $8 million, $4 million per year. Coming up next, what does the top six look like now for the Nashville Predators? We'll discuss that coming up on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Taking your calls, 615-737-1025, and your text, Nino Niederreiter, signing with the Nashville Predators. But what would it take to still get Matthew Tkachuk? And what does the top six currently look like for the Predators? I'm with Willie. I think seeing Niederreiter and Mikhail Granlund back together would be intriguing. So maybe you make that, you know, Granlund, Duchesne, Niederreiter, and then go Johansson, Forsberg, and then whoever wins that other winger job, whether it's Tomasino or potentially Ellie Tolvanen. But I think it's going to be Tomasino. I feel pretty good about that top six, if I'm being honest. I'd feel even better if Matthew Tkachuk is a part of that. But
now say that again, Chase. I was right.
So yeah, we're both playing with Cap Friendly's trade machine to try and to make all this work. But so you would basically in no, I'm not even saying line one, line two. Uh-huh. Just I'd probably go Granlund, Niederreiter, Duchesne, Johansson, Forsberg, and Tomasino. Or, you know, you could go Forsberg, Granlund, Duchesne, like you've had, and then put Niederreiter with Johansson. But I think you're definitely going to see John Hines experiment with putting Mikhail Granlund and Nino Niederreiter back together because they played together in Minnesota.
And I'm sure they had, you know, success playing together. And, you know, it's always a good thing when you can reunite with an individual that you've had, you know, some success with. Now, if there was no success, then I'm sure Coach Hines would look at that and say, maybe not. But, you know, them getting Nino and possibly pairing him up with Granlund, you know, might spark something again.
Sure.
So, you know, but then it all goes back to, okay, we got Nino. Where do we go now? Do we seriously make that move and try to get Tkachuk? Do we do that, or do we just go in another direction? Because, again, you're going to have to give up, regardless of what, you know, people may like or dislike. In order to get a guy of this caliber, you got to give up somebody,
yep,
or some peoples that's going to make the trade work.
Yeah, I mean, look, it takes money to make money. That's what I always say. I mean, and that's exactly what you would have to do. A lot of you weighing in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Milo says to Calgary, second rounder in 2024, Sissons, Carrier, Evangelista, and then Tkachuk, and a third round in 2023. You're not clearing enough money. I mean, that's the problem. Like, I would like that if you had the cap room, but you're not clearing enough money. And that's what you're going to have to do. Brian says, I'd like to see a trade package of Johansson, Fabro, Ingram, and a first, and then a conditional third-round pick for Tkachuk. Johansson has flashes of great play, but he also has so much more skill than the Preds can seem to get out of him.
Are you still giving up enough to get that, to make that deal work in regards of monies?
Yeah, I mean, because you're giving up an $8 million deal.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're giving up close to $10 million total with that.
Well, mine was Ellie, Fabro, and Duchesne, and then prospects.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd clear as far as the money.
Sure, because that's the thing. Like, if I'm David and I go, okay, well, you have to take some money.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I'm Calgary and I go, okay, well, that means you're going to have to give me more that I can build with in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that means more picks and more prospects. That's how you offset that. And it, you know, I don't know what David Poyle's walk away price would be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just too rich for him. But because he has, over the last couple of years, he's done a really good job of replenishing the cupboard when it comes to the prospect pool with this team. So he mm-hmm. does have those assets that he could use, but he doesn't want to get rid of all of them. He doesn't want to give up the farm,
exactly.
Nor should he.
So who would you be willing, out of the two, Duchesne and Johansson? I know you already said Grant, you would throw Granlund in there because he is a big dollar guy.
Yeah, but now Willie's got me thinking of, uh-huh. okay, because he's played with Niederreiter. I mean, and I don't think that's the be-all, end-all.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I have my druthers, I would prefer to keep Duchesne and Johansson.
Okay.
And which is funny coming from me, because last year I was ready to get rid of Duchesne, but he turned it around.
If Coach Hines say and David say nope, Granlund's not a part of it. We want to team him back up with Nino, so he's off the table. Now you have Duchesne and Johansson. Which one?
I have to pick between one?
Yeah, you have to pick between. Because you're not going to get rid of both of them, but yeah. You have to get rid of one of the big contracts.
I'm getting rid of Johansson.
I think Calgary would probably more than likely go that way, too, because he's a younger player.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with – here is the crapshoot with Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
He had a really good year. Can he do it again?
He had
two really bad years, and then he had a really good year.
That's the $8 million question.
Yeah. So can he do it again? I mean, that's the thing. Now, I think where I will give Duchesne a ton of credit, he recognized that he wasn't living up to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
He put the work in. He did what he needed to do to get better, and then it showed on the ice. So does that mean he's fixed, or does that mean it was just – 1 year of greatness, and that's all it was?
Well, we'll find out this year, upcoming, whether they choose to, make a serious push for Tkachuk or not. We will see if Duchesne is going to continue. And again, he doesn't have to, necessarily do exactly what he did last year. But it has to be close. The consistency has to be there.
Yeah. Nate on our text line is asking if Niederreiter could be added as a trade piece for Tkachuk. I doubt it. I wouldn't do that.
I thought about that when you guys were talking earlier, but I'm like, nah.
I'm not saying that's not been done before, because it has, but That's kind of a crappy thing to do.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you sign a guy. Yeah, I can't wait to have you on our team. Oh, by the way, we're trading you.
that's more of like a trade deadline thing.
That's a basketball thing.
If he doesn't work out before the trade deadline, that could be something that you do if we're a playoff team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't see them doing that because I'm even more excited and would want Tkachuk even more because I think having Niederreiter on the team too would be very good. So We will get back into this. Do not worry. 615-737-1025. But SEC Media Day is ongoing. Josh Heupel, the head coach of the Vols, spoke to the media today. We will discuss some of that, including NIL, coming up next here on the DDC 102.5, 106.3, The Game.